Hi, welcome to Security Guy Radio at Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Christian Lees.
Bring your mic a little higher. Okay. And what's the name of your company?
InfoArmor.
I like that name.
Thank you.
It tells me a lot.
Yeah.
Tell me what you do.
Essentially, InfoArmor is a threat intelligence platform. Really, what we utilize is operative and open source intelligence. Our analysts are out in the threat actor space, harvesting and using this data for attribution to protect brands.
Now, what do you think is the biggest threat we have to our security? I know there's a lot of levels, but what's one that stands out to you that you're worried about?
You know, that's an excellent question. I would say general complacency, right? Just being asleep at the wheel and not recognizing the threats that are out there.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of data breaches now are bring your own device, right?
Certainly, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to pay for your cell phone because it's cheaper. That's great.
Right.
But when I go home to watch Game of Thrones, I don't really care about your password at
right.
the company. I'm
right.
just too busy doing social media
sure.
and I get hacked, right?
Yeah.
So I understand that most hacks are not because, and Security Guy Radio's brain's a little slow on this.
Right.
It's not because somebody, quote, hacks you.
Right.
As much as they find the encryption key and unlock things. That's one way, right?
Certainly.
Or, give me the term we were talking about before this, how they get it.
Well, certainly there's an opportunity, a large opportunity. There's essentially a treasure trove of data out there for threat actors, right? And that is to leverage off the employee, particularly in the credentials area, right?
Right.
There's a lot of third-party services that are disclosed, data disclosure, and threat actors are pretty good at targeting your employees and leveraging those credentials.
And people get in because, more because people are actually authenticated.
Right.
But they shouldn't be.
Sure.
And what's the term for that? We just talked about it a minute ago. We're talking about how to...
Sorry, I didn't quite
hear your question. Before the show, we were talking about a term that you use for that.
Compromised credentials?
Compromised credentials, right.
Certainly.
So the guy has a password.
Right.
He's sloppy with it. He loans it to his buddy. The network doesn't know any different and says, well, you're okay. I'm going to let you in.
Right.
And in fact, that's a quasi... It's a breach, but it's a quasi-hack, so to speak, right?
Certainly.
Could be a social engineering hack where
sure.
I trick you into all that information, right?
Right. Also, I would say that there is a certain behavior with our employees by using our corporate credentials for other third-party sites. Do you really need to use your corporate credential for a Netflix account, et cetera, or Facebook? Probably not, but that will also enable threat actors.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Is that a trend?
That is a trend, yeah. We see a lot of corporate credentials that are in use by the threat actors or actually offered in the threat actor space.
Now, is that because they're using it while they're at work, or they use it privately too?
They use it privately, of course, for
right.
work, right? You know, commonly, hey, you know, I'm going to sign up for Adobe account.
Yeah.
But we do see a lot of corporate credentials utilized with third-party sites, and typically these are private.
Move your mic just a little closer. Right?
You
there
bet.
You go. So how does InfoArmor can handle on this and help corporations prevent that?
Right. So essentially, since we're human intelligence driven, right, we're operatively driven, our analysts are out there in the threat actor space monitoring for data disclosures, typically through a domain. We call it domain monitoring. So any of this data that we see within the threat actor space, we can then correlate it to the actual domain itself
now,
or the employees as well.
Do we use... Here's the challenge in security. You have a guard.
Yeah.
Or let's say a corporate investigator. He's got one level of knowledge in this.
Right.
And then you have the IT guy,
yeah.
who is a different, I'm not going to call it higher, it's called a different level of understanding IT stuff, right?
Certainly.
How does your company help get that down to the level where the actor, in other words,
right.
the physical security guy is usually charged with acting and doing something about it.
Right.
You know, let's go get him, let's go find him, let's put him in jail.
Yeah.
Tell me how those things work with InfoArmor.
So essentially, InfoArmor, we have a platform called Vigilante, and these security professionals of an organization would utilize this kind of sophisticated tool. Within this tool, there's a number of mechanisms. So they'll use this for data attribution. They'll log in. They'll set watch lists. Really, InfoArmor is nothing more than an extension of your security platform, right? Traditionally, organizations' security platform, they lead off at the network edge, right? They're really in charge of protecting that perimeter edge.
Right.
We specialize in that outer edge, the untrust area within the threat actor space. By the data we harvest and put it within our pool, the organization can utilize that for attribution and help protect their organization for cyber threats.
Now, how does the compromised credential happen in the first place?
Right.
Are companies choosing one level of authentication? They're not using two or three level authentication? I
mean, yeah.
It seems like it's a no-brainer. So you get your password stolen. Guess
right.
what? I need to plug a dongle into step number two, or I got to
sure.
get a text to my phone.
Right.
Are you finding that's number one reason because they only have one level of authentication?
Well, there are some organizations that are just really kind of reliant on that traditional username and credential. But there are a lot of organizations that also are advanced, right? They're very sophisticated. They're using multi-factor authentication. And for an organization to say, well, we're not really worried about our employees' credentials out in the wild, could be a mistake, right? Because organizations, individuals are out there sharing their credentials. They now become a leverage point for the threat actor to leverage off. And it is a direct threat to the organization.
So they think they're safe.
Right.
Because they have different levels. But really, they're not, because this problem is not about that. This
right.
problem is about, hey, I gave you my credential. I took it off your desk. I found it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And
right.
how do you guard against that, though?
It's really about, you know, these credentials being out in the wild and the
right.
threat actor being able to associate that individual to the organization, whether it's through social media. You know, within InfoArmor, we really want to leverage the harvesting of these credentials and deliver that meaningful data to the organization so that they can put in some sort of compensating controls or talk to the individual and educate them that, hey, these credentials, despite the fact that they may not be associated with our domain, they are a direct threat, right? If you're logging into Yahoo, it could impact our organization.
Right.
So it's really about getting that data quickly to them.
Now, does InfoArmor go out and search networks for those things? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, we are out there in the threat actor space looking for credentials, oftentimes through open source intelligence. This could be through Pastebin. It could be through Twitter. We have quite a number of large tools that harvest it. And then also there's the closed forum space that we specialize as well.
So how come I'm not picking on LinkedIn.
Right? Yeah.
But LinkedIn gets hacked all
yeah.
the time.
Right.
And I can't figure out why that happens.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of social... what's the term? You know, social hacking.
Sure.
In other words, oh, hi.
Right.
I'm 20-year-old in a bikini and join my network. No, I don't think so.
Right.
But people fall for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are you finding that the social media is the place where most of these breaches are happening now, where people are out there, like you say, using
yeah.
their corporate IDs and things like that?
No, I would say it's wide, right? You know, LinkedIn is just a very large example.
Right.
And it's very near and dear to us, right? Especially... considering that, it's safe to assume that 50% of people are on LinkedIn, particularly in the corporate world.
So yeah, it's pretty big. It's almost everybody in
yeah.
a way, yeah.
Because
the other 50% don't get computers probably, right? But eventually they'll get there, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, I think it's just an example, but the disclosures are widely dispersed across all levels of organization.
What's the next level you guys are working at to get, the next best thing? Don't give any company secrets or anything like that, but...
Right, yeah. We're very focused on our worldwide centers. You know, these are actually out there consuming the reconnaissance efforts of threat actors. We're also building the threat actor library so that individuals...
Oh, interesting.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. So you can look into our platform and recognize the threat actors, what they're capable of, right? It's really kind of going into the who, what, why, when, where, and how. You know, one of our unique factors is the fact that we think most organizations, security organizations, really leverage IP reputation feeds and say, hey, we do cyber. We go much further, and we can really kind of give you the who, what, when, why, where, and how of threat actors. If you have a proof point, we'll go in and investigate it for you.
Now, I'm a Disney.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in this product.
Sure.
Sell it to me. Tell me how I'm going to benefit from it. Tell me what you're going to do to help me.
Right, yeah. So Disney, that's an example of a very large organization.
Huge.
Yeah.
135,000 employees worldwide.
Very big attack surface, right?
Right.
So, to be focusing internally on your trust environment and not focused on that untrust environment is a scary thing, right? You want to have that attribution. You want to pick up the threat actor's conversations or kind of chatter about organizations.
Right.
Maybe these threat actors have a vulnerability. Maybe they're looking for something, or maybe they're looking to sell something that's associated with that organization.
Now, this is interesting. You say the non-threat environment, right?
Yeah.
So in access control, I've always believed, which is the opposite of all the models,
sure,
that my first answer to you coming in is no.
Right.
That's not what the model is. The model is, oh, you got a card. It's a yes.
Yeah.
It's a go, go, go. In other words, we used to let thousands of people through the door
right.
because their card was good.
Right.
But I couldn't see your picture.
Right.
I didn't know the difference, right?
Yeah.
And I was always of the mind to say, no, let me stop. Let me talk to you. Let me look. And back in the day, that would be multi-layer authentication, or they wasn't. But
right.
we try to use the human element as one level. Right.
Right.
Why are the organizations so focused on green light, go? What, I mean,
right.
your company's solving that other
yeah.
side of it, right?
Right.
Is it just because it's easier, it's logical? What And other, to me, everybody is, no, you can't come on my network, period.
Right.
And you got to go through a lot of steps to get in there. But it seems they just make it password, card, boom.
Right. Well, I think that you actually touched on something interesting, right? The trick to security is not be an impediment to the business, right?
That's true.
Grind it to a halt.
Right.
We as security professionals, we can absolutely implement very strict security rules and make it very difficult for people to do business. You know, sometimes I think that, you know, the company recognizes, hey, listen, we got to make a living. We got to really have this data access in order to function. So it's, you know, operations really needing a certain level of access.
It's always a trade-off. I mean,
yeah.
I was in a live broadcast facility.
Sure.
And when I put that ID in there in 2000 or 1999, everybody went ballistic. I can't take 30 seconds to swipe my card.
Sure.
Had to retrain the culture for about 6 months.
Right.
Now it's common.
Right.
But you're right, it was a hard sell. And the other thing is people tend to balance the finance part of it with operations.
Right.
And say, you know what, it's going to cost $1 million, but we've never been hacked. So you know what, since we haven't been, I'm not spending $1 million, except that an average breach costs way more than that, right?
Certainly.
Do you think companies are getting to a point where they're getting the cost-benefit analysis and understanding that a major breach can actually shut you down?
Right.
Maybe permanently, depending on PR image, data loss, all that kind of thing.
Right.
Are they getting that and leaning more towards being cautious?
Very good question. Yeah, I think that there's probably examples of all of the above, right? I think there's organizations out there that are underfunding security.
Right.
Thinking it won't happen, or perhaps maybe the brand can endure, depending upon the type of incident. But I think more organizations are really coming around to, hey, listen, it's a dangerous world out there, right? And if we're not out there hunting the hunted and recognizing the threats, then we are susceptible to some sort of incident.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's not a matter of who's been hacked, it's a matter of who's not been hacked. And eventually they're going to say, you know,
right.
Security Guy Radio got hacked.
Right.
I put my counter up online
right.
about 2 weeks ago, and that same day, I had about 20,000 attacks on my website.
Unbelievable.
Now, if they want to steal my radio show, I'd be glad for them to steal the show and listen to it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we'll see what I get. But I was just a little bitty nobody company compared to these other things, right?
Right.
And maybe it's because we're at Black Hat. You know, I'm not really sure what it is. But what do you think is behind the psychology of a hacker? My opinion is it's a violent act. Right,
yeah.
And I define violence very low, because if I catch you at the start when you're not trying to kill me,
right.
that's the best place to start. But really,
right.
you're going to come into my company and take my data and steal my employees' information
right.
and ruin a bunch of lives. It's violence, right?
Right.
Is it they're trying to prove they're smarter than everybody? Or, I mean, there's something weird behind it that's just not a normal kind of criminal behavior.
Right.
You deal with these guys. What do you think?
Well, I think that, the intent behind the threat actors is wide, right?
It's not always financial gain necessarily. They just do it to do it, right?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, there's probably three areas, right? First and foremost, the intent to, you know, turn something into a revenue stream, right? Secondly is the intent to hack for change, right?
Right.
Hacktivism, some sort of political implications.
I actually kind of like hacktivism myself.
Yeah.
Depends on what side you're on.
Well, it depends upon, and then lastly would be, you know, your intent is to build a name for yourself, right? And,
right.
You know, so I'm the guy and I'm out there and I'm dumping it into open source intelligence saying, check it out here. Here's what I've done.
So we moved more towards the financial side of it? Because back in the day, it was more like the 12-year-old saying, look, I can hack your Pentagon server.
Curiosity.
Right. Curiosity, right.
Yeah.
Now, it's going more into a business model with ransomware and all that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah. You even see ransomware as a service, right? You know,
right.
out there, $39. So it's very mature, the entire life cycle of it is. It's to me, the underground economy is a living organism, right?
Right.
And it corrects itself. It overcompensates, right? You see that routinely.
Well, been a fascinating discussion.
Thank you very much.
Name again.
Christian Lee's InfoArmor.
And CEO?
CISO.
CISO, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And InfoArmor.com?
InfoArmor.com.
Thanks for coming on Security
Thank you Gallery. Very much. Cheers. Thank you, Chuck.
All right, beautiful.
It's okay?
Yeah.
You're good. 50.